Glory to God. The anointing exchange. And we'll go to 1 Samuel, verse 30. And they'll put it up on the screen, but you can read along with me. It came to pass, don't you like that? It came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captive. Now, do some research about that. Just dig into it. Read around the whole thing. I don't have time to do it here. Because their names are right there. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, and every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David and David did what? David encouraged himself. This man, this is the reason he's a man after God's own heart. He would use his covenant. When Jesse sent him to check on the battle, and Goliath was there, they were all, and he challenged him twice a day for 6 weeks. David said, "What do I get if I kill him?" But you're but a lad. Listen. That uncircumcised Philistine has no chance against me any more than it did the lion and the bear that I killed over for my father's sheep. I'll kill it.
Yes. That's right.
And Goliath cursed him with his gods. And David said, "I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Yes. He put the angels to work.
Amen, amen.
And Hollywood had him dancing. No. It said he ran toward him.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, the sling wasn't something like this.
Right.
No, no.
Yes.
Like this.
Yes.
And I tried it and made one of two or three or four different lengths. Whoa. You better look out where you point that thing. Oh, man. And woman, I tell you, you give that thing about a couple of slings like that, and then that knot right here, and you turn that knot loose. It's like a rifle bullet, as you know. And the Lord asked me, he said, "Who made David king?" I said, "Samuel." He said, "No, Goliath." And that's the reason Saul was jealous of him. But here we are now. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me here the ephod." And Abiathar brought there the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, he didn't just run around in a circle, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And the Lord said, "Pursue, For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David said, well, I don't know, Lord. You know, that's a bunch of people. I don't. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Besor. Where those that were left behind stayed, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, so faint they couldn't cross the brook. Now, wait a minute. Let's take a look at this thing. That's it. Look at it when it rains. That look. How many of you have been in the military? Their quartermaster was on foot. Their food was walking around. No hogs. Their food, lambs, goats, cows, from which they got their milk. And you want to take them through that? Either way, down in that hole, or when it's full of water. Either way, you would have lost your quartermaster. You would have lost your, you would have lost the main part of your food. And somebody had to wrangle that bunch. It took, now this gives you an idea how much it was. It took 200 men to stay up with it. That's a lot of cattle. And some of these guys are still going to gripe about it. Thank you, Jesus. Then the wicked men, the men of Belial, of those that went with David, said, because they went not with us, we will not get aught of the spoil that we have recovered. Now, what does this have to do with partnership? Save to every man and his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. David said, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part that goes down to the battle shall part with the stuff, they shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward. That he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel until this day. So the ones who stayed behind were part of that battle. And David, I want you to see something. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. They made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of case of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water for 3 days and three nights. David said to him, there just happened to be an Egyptian there. The Lord said, pursue. He said, who do you belong to? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days had gone by, I fell sick. He made an invasion then the south of the Cherethites the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. David said to him, can you take us down? He said, yeah. And when it brought them down, they were brought on the earth drinking and dancing. Now listen. David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. They were on a forced march, didn't take time to eat. The quartermaster is back on the other side. They were on a forced march. But God was in this.
Yes.
God was in it.
Amen.
Because he called on him.
That's right.
He encouraged himself in the Lord. Shall I pursue? Yes.
Yes.
You'll get them all back. You'll lose nothing. On a forced march. And then fought them from the twilight till the next day and didn't lose anyone.
Hallelujah.
Whew. That's the same God.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
That will help you get out of debt.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, thank you, Father. So, that was 1 Samuel 30. Now, Isaiah 10:27. I'm working on something here.
Come on.
Now, this is the prophet speaking. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and the yoke from off his neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, one translation says, because of the fat.
Yes.
It's just, you just can't get a yoke around it.
Yeah.
Say anointing.
Anointing.
Luke 4:16. And get ready. 14th verse, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, he'd been in temptation. We'll talk about that. Before we do that, I want to look at Mark 6. Hold your place there. Mark 6:3, is not this the carpenter of the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. When Jesus said, a prophet is not out without honor in his own country and among his own kin and his house, and he could there do no mighty work. He could there do no mighty work. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him throughout the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me." Whoa, no, 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 whoa, no, my man. Why do they get so bent out of shape over that? I'll go over here and talk to Mark. He's got pretty shoes on. But Trina's better looking. And there's the Criders. And what's his name there from South Africa? Andre. Sissy Johnson? No. Robey. And Jenny. Is Jenny with you this time? South African partner.
Yeah.
Mark, he said he has Messiah'd me.
Come on. Wow.
And they said, "What? We know him." So? But in his and them, his sisters and them, made him mad. Not dare him call himself the Messiah.
Come on.
Right here in this synagogue. We've known him since he's a little boy. How could he be the Messiah? Well, he didn't, God didn't promise he'd just drop him out of the sky. He promised he'd be anointed. He Messiah'd them. They back in the day. Now, Brother Hagin set me apart to the office of the prophet in 1977. That flashed across my mind, but I said, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I'm not going to call myself a prophet. You're going to have to do that. Not me. He was closing the service. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll get it. I had been speaking there, and I was right on the platform. And the Lord said, "Get on your feet." I said, "No, I'll call it to you." He said, "Get on your feet now." My feet touched the ground. He said, "Ken Copeland, what?" Then he put his hand on me. He was giving the invitation. I separate you to the office of a prophet. The seer, standing right in the pulpit. You'll see it run in front of you just like on a television screen. And you'll be able to minister to the people.
Hallelujah.
And in that day, you'll have much for great reason to rejoice. For many shall come and accept the Lord. First, he said, "You're going to have to move over there in that healing ministry a little sooner than you thought you would." Okay. I'll tell you what. I mean, he knocked the prophet props out of me. 1977. I went back to the hotel there that night. Of course, it was in Tulsa. And I laid down there and I said, "Oh, Lord, oh, Lord." He said, "How'd I do?" I said, "Yeah. Oh, glory to God. There were 9,000 people there that night. And he wanted to know how he did." There were men and women during the Second World War that were looking desperately for the voice of a prophet, for words that would come from heaven, that would assure them that their loved ones were all right. But I didn't have anybody during that time that could publicly do that. They were there, but everybody was war-minded instead of God-minded. Now, this is me talking. There were pastors that left their churches because the Depression had a Great Depression, you know, and went to work in the defense plants and never did go back to their churches. And it cost them dearly in their ministry in order. Well, I won't go there because I'm not their judge. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. The statute and ordinance. Now, I want to go to the 8th chapter of Luke. Oh, Jesus. I get so thrilled when I read this because he blesses the hearing and the reading of his word. Amen. And it came to pass afterward. Now that's referring to this. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and every village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Now look at these partners. Certain women which had been of evil spirits, infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of them went 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and read with me, many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Yes, 2 Kings 13. Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. It came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man in the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. I'm going to tell you something, my brother and sister. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to the living God. There was enough anointing in that old prophet's bones. Well, what do you think the bones of a live prophet can do? Yes. There was enough anointing in that old man's bones. Yes. I said his bones.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And the Lord said, look, can these bones live? Yes. Prophesy to these bones, son of man. And the bones began to get up and live. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Life can feel unstable. It can seem like there's no light to guide your way. But faith is the force that turns on the lights and changes your circumstance. In the audio series, Consistency, the Powerhouse of Faith, Kenneth and Gloria explain how you can develop unshakable, unswerving faith that will see you through to triumph in the most trying times. Scripture tells us that God is a solid rock to support you when you stand on or put your faith in Him. Living on the rock of revelation knowledge of who Jesus is and who you are in Him puts you in a position to be free no matter where you are or what's going on. Stand. Keep standing on that solid rock. With faith in God, you get the answer to every question for the rest of your life. The Word of God is light, and you are a child of the light. When you go out into the dark, it's not dark anymore. You shine, and those in darkness see that there is an answer. It is faith in God that keeps you in consistent victory. Faith is the spiritual force that can move mountains and change circumstances in your life. Request your free copy of Consistency, The Powerhouse of Faith, an audio series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Learn how to live in consistent victory. Go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org.uk/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Prayer is a very important part of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. It is the foundation of this ministry and one of our core values. We pray for our partners every day, and prayer is involved in all of our points of contact when it comes to ministering to our partners. We pray with our partners on the phone and over their email correspondence and offerings received. We also pray over the Believer's Voice of Victory magazines, products, and Brother Copeland's monthly partner letter before they're sent out to partners all over the world. We also have a prayer line, so if you need prayer, call us and have one of our licensed prayer ministers pray with you. They are on staff and trained in the Word of God. For Isaiah 55 tells us, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways and thoughts higher than ours. When God sends out His Word, it always produces fruit. It accomplishes all He intends and prospers everywhere He sends it. God is so faithful and greatly to be praised. We have prayer ministers in all of our KCM offices around the world. So go to kcm.org and contact the one nearest you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.